All right, well, just a little review before we get into our where we left off in our material. So we know that sin earns us something. What does sin earn us? And I know that's not a real good way to put it, but what are the wages of sin?
Death.
Okay, death. Okay, wages of sin are death. We see that in Romans 6:23. And we needed a way to overcome this. And that's one of the things that we've looked at in parts of our last class, the one before it. We're saved from the wrath of God through Christ. We saw that, and we've realize that we've been justified by his blood or his death. And again, like I mentioned in some of the other classes, when we say this, you know, we're talking about being justified or saved and all of that. We're looking at those that, you know, put on Christ, that trust in this. We haven't got to that part of the lessons yet. And that's some of what our next lesson that we get to will be on. Because it's going to, well, I titled it, How Is One Saved? It's not going to be that, we're not going to, at that point, look at the actual, at what point we're saved. We're going to be looking at some things look towards that, or the things that are the beginning of that, as far as the hearing and the believing. So just keep that in mind. I know in some of these classes we've looked at, we see this idea of those being saved, and it's true that salvation is through Christ, through His grace. But as we see, as we get a little further, there's going to be a way that we have to obtain that, which I know most of us here are aware of that, but that's also something good for us to remember when we're talking to others, because of things in the world, you know, error that's taught and stuff. So that's going to be something that's helpful. So we looked at in our last class this wonderful mercy and grace, this idea of mercy and grace, this love that was shown towards us. We looked at how this love is from the Father. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. When we think about that, we think about this sacrifice. We just think about how grand it is. Because this, we're talking about deity. This is Christ, the Son of God, and we're also going to see that He is God, and what He was willing to do, that He was willing to leave the glories of heaven and to put on flesh.
Propitiation.
Mm-hmm. The propitiation, yes, sir.
Reconciliation.
And that, you know, what he did, he came to this earth and he walked as a man. And ultimately, you know, after going through the things that he did and the teaching did, ultimately he died on the cross for the sins of man and arose on the third day just as he said he would. So do we think about that? Do we count the cost? And that's going to be another thing that we can direct towards people is this cost, this what it took to make it possible for mankind to overcome sin. So do we consider this love? Because I know I keep saying we're talking about talking to others, but this is something we need to keep fresh in our minds for ourselves. And that's what's going to strengthen us and help us have the right attitude in doing these things.
And, you know, it's amazing to think about how that this plan was devised back when as in first heard, I mean, thousands of years in the making, you know, we see all the Old Testament, all things coming up to
before then,
Jesus Christ come on the earth. It's amazing that, you know, God, his plan. If we were doing it, we'd probably done it, oh, well, just have Christ come right after Adam and Eve sinned. You know, God does all this and, you know, sets us up, you know, prepares people, gets them ready for Jesus coming up. I mean, it's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. So, wasn't it? But with it being like that, it's kind of hard for some people to comprehend that because we want to think of it in terms in the way that we understand things.
Yeah.
But to understand how God in his infinite wisdom is able to
make it happen
beforehand. Yeah, all this is already planned.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just need to really consider that and think about that, what God was willing to do for us. We weren't worthy of this yet. We were exalted. Not by anything we did on our own, you know, not that we earned it or merited it in that way, but it was the grace of God that we were able to be right in His sight. For those that would trust in Christ and put Him on. And also continue to live as we should. And we also looked at, in the last class, we looked at this idea of you know, Jesus being sent. Because, like we just looked at in John 3:16, God so loved the world and then that He sent His only begotten. And we looked at that idea in Ephesians, this idea of God sending. But this was God's will, but not only is Christ the Son of God, He is God. And that's where we're going to start our class, kind of where we left off. In John 1. Mm-hmm. Says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. So we see this idea of Jesus is God and that He was there from the beginning and part of the creation as well. So think about this love. You know, that God would send His Son to pay this ransom. And like what you said, we weren't worthy of this. And yet Jesus, and being God, would be willing to come and to die for those that He created. This love is hard to comprehend, the amount of mercy and grace that's involved with that.
Let us make man in our own image.
Okay.
He was there in the beginning. Grace.
Okay. Yes, sir. He was here in the beginning.
All three of them.
Yes, sir. I'll write that. Yes, that's true. That He was here in the beginning, and this, you know, when we think about, I just find it hard. Not hard in the sense to believe. I definitely trust and believe in it. But just when you really try to wrap your head around it to comprehend it. You know, one of the verses we looked at in the other class, we were talking about that this idea of what most men wouldn't even lay down their life for someone that was good. you know, and the idea that what was done on our behalf. And you think about, as parents, giving up your son, if you want to look at it in that way, or your child, for the, you know, just sacrificing them so that mankind can overcome sin. But even regardless why, you just think of the extent of doing that. What God was willing to do for us. And then Christ himself, what he was willing to do for us. You know, that he would sacrifice himself for mankind. It's just hard to really comprehend the depth of it. I mean, indeed, we trust in it and we believe it, but, you know, it's just hard at times to really think about that depth.
Here we're talking to some parents who had a son that was in the military that lost their life for their country. We might be able to use that to compare it to show, you know, and see.
Okay.
That, you know, so they better understand, you know, God gave his son for the sins of, it wasn't for a country.
No, but that's not a bad idea because there's similarities.
There's
both freedoms involved in that. Just one
sacrifices is sacrifices involved.
Yeah,
giving up, letting go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or even, I guess, even talking to people about it, you know, using that example might help you to understand better what
you mean
God did for mankind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just because of have an understanding of sacrifice
parents,
or what other people are doing.
Parents let their children go into the military.
Yeah. The only difference is in this case, they knew for certain that, you know, he came to die.
Yeah.
There's always that possibility, being in the military,
yeah.
But that's not always not going to be the outcome. This is without a doubt.
That's
he knew
right.
why he came.
That's right.
And,
that's
why I came here. So it's, yes, sir. But no, a good analogy, though. I put some verses down on the lesson. And I just put these down on there for some examples or of mercy and grace. Or where it, that term is used. In 2 Timothy, let's look at 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we see this idea of this mercy and grace. And we also see some other things that we've looked at in other classes. This eternal life, and that this is something that we can understand. You know, here it says that it was brought to light through the gospel. And so we know that we can understand this grace and be able to know what was done and be able to understand what we have to do. let's look over at Titus. And Titus 2:11 says that, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. So we see this idea of salvation being something that is grace. You know, this is something that was provided for us, not something that we can do on our own, but this was something that was brought to those that are that will partake in it. If we just go over one chapter, we'll look at chapter 3, verse 7. It says that, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So again, this idea of life eternal, and that we're heirs of this because of that grace that was shown for us. And we'll turn over to Ephesians. That's where that thing went. I know we looked at some of Ephesians in our last class, but we were mostly looking at chapter 1 in that class. Let's look over at chapter 2 for a minute. In chapter 2, we'll read verses 4 through 8. It says that, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we see in here several times this idea of it being a gift of God and these surpassing riches, and that it's grace, it's favor. But we also see that it's favor that's shown through Christ.
Go one verse further. It talks about not as a result of works. So this just also goes to show that it's nothing that we did to earn it.
Right. Right. Good point. Yeah, there's. It's verse 9 says, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Yeah, it's not anything that we've earned. It was grace shown towards us. Because there's no way that we could live perfectly. And
can I ask a question about verse 9?
Yes.
I have had that verse used when I have tried to explain the necessity of baptism.
Okay.
And people have said that that's a work, and we're not saved by works.
Okay.
And I haven't known how quite to answer. I haven't gotten through to them that to explain that baptism is not a work. I mean, it's an act of obedience. But I need help understanding.
It's not a work of man. That's the difference.
Right.
God's that's one thing.
Hang on just a second. It's a little bit further. There's one part of this.
Craig, one thing we could say about there's a different type of works, and baptism is a work. And in this one, in verse 9, you just go to the text, and it'll tell you what kind of works these are. These are material, meritorious works, right?
Right.
So not as a result of works that one should boast in. So these are works of merit. You say, well, I've earned salvation because of what I've done. Well, baptism is not that type of work. It's a work of faith. So these are all meritorious works that are under consideration here in these verses here. You go back up to, in verse 8, we're saved through faith, and not of yourselves. You know, it's not anything that we earn or things that we merit.
Right.
So those are the works that are under consideration here. So the contrast here is works of merit versus faith.
Right.
Or faith, both those things. So that's how you answer that. It's just the context. These are things that we boast in. And then And he said, well, baptism is a work. We were not, because it's a work, we were not should be baptized. We'll go to verse 10.
Yeah, that's what
we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So baptism is a good work. So here, you just look at the context, how works, the meaning of it changes within verses 9 and 10. Works in 9 is meritorious works. Works in verse 10, you know, are works of faith, the things that we're commanded to. So that's an important point, and it's always, you know, people get hung up on words can have different meanings in different places. And
right.
So I think that's the point to be made there. And, you know, verse 9 tells us what kind of works it is. It works of merit. You know, and the other way I answer the question, when you're baptized, do you boast about that? Because I've earned it? Because of that? No, that's not a work that you boast about. It's a work that you obey, you know. So those are some thoughts on how I might, you know, address the dilemma there.
Well, and one thing I've used, verse 10, that might not totally satisfy it, but it even talks about, like Rocky had said, these works here, but it even says that we would walk in them. So this idea, you know, we are to walk in this certain kind of works. We see that there are things we still have to do. Now, I don't know if they're just addressing just what we have to do to be saved. It might be what they're... Is that what you're talking about, the people that you're dealing with? Or do they think that even after that, you know, is there anything... Yeah.
You could also go to 1 Peter 3:21, where it talks about baptism now saves you.
Well, and plus, one thing that I would, you might consider is you could look to the writer. Okay, because this is something that Paul is writing about. And we have an example that he was told, well, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So that might be something that we could use as well, because we can show, well, this very writer, you know, with what he taught, if that's what he means, it goes against what he did. So that might be something that you could use as well.
There's another idea, too. It may be a little simpler.
Hang on just a second. I think Miss Pat had her hand up.
No,
while
no,
ago.
You already covered what I was going to say.
Oh, did I? Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
If they say baptism, you say, well, is that something you do to be saved? And then if you agree to that, is that right? Something you have to do to be saved? Yes. Therefore, when it says, what must I do to be saved, then you're talking about what? Repentance?
Yeah. See? Believe?
Believe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, all those things.
Right.
So there are things you do to be saved.
Right.
Oh, so now you've got to conflict your mind. That isn't something I do, but you got to do those also.
That's right.
Now you go into the idea that there are different types of works.
Right, because it's work based on your faith.
You get the first part that it's something you do.
Right.
Hey, yes, sir. In James 2, you show that about faith, about works, is dead. You show me faith, about works.
And I'll show you my works by
my works.
Yeah, that.
Of course, then when you deal with the idea of, well, I don't think you have to do believe or repent either. Because after all, I'm chosen from the beginning. To be saved or not, so I don't need to do any of that. I mean, you can.
John 6:28 says that belief is a work. Belief is a work. John 6:28.
And then, well, and of course, we could go to Acts and just show all the different examples of conversion, right?
Yeah.
Right, and yeah, because some of the times it says, "What must I do to be saved?" We see believe, we see repent, and then of course baptize. And when you look at the Great Commission, where we started our lesson, you know, Matthew 28:18-19, and Mark 16:15-16. This idea, now again, this was the apostles, but. Decide that right. They go into all the world and you
word all.
Right, but the idea of baptism is in there on both of them, because in Mark 16:16 it says that he who has believed and has been baptized has been saved, and then we see the idea in Matthew 28:18 as well, or 19. This idea of baptism in there. Let me look over there for a second, because I'm trying to do this off of memory. and it doesn't always work.
Sound pretty good.
Because in Matthew 28:19, it's go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, I mean, name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And then now, although this was to the apostles, we saw that it's the same idea. This pattern is what we are to use. Because if not, what would happen after the apostles are gone? And then plus you just by the very idea of what they're doing, you know, teaching to make other disciples, and that cycle going on.
First part of Acts, the early Christians did obey the gospel, went out to each other.
But we see this idea of baptism because Acts 2, Acts 8, 16, these different examples of those that were converted. Romans 6:3 talks about how the idea of baptism is
burial.
Yeah, burial. Let me look over there. I don't want to misquote anything. And Romans 6:3 says, "Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus?" Oh, hang on, I said it wrong. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." So we can see this idea of these different places that baptism is talked about that might be helpful.
Thank you.
To you. Well, did that answer any?
Yeah, okay. There were a lot of good suggestions,
okay.
And I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
I think I was thinking about something earlier when you were talking, and Emerson made the comment thinking about a son that you have off in another country. You know, I turned over to Hebrews 5, and I think it pertains to this conversation too, because the passage you just read talking about how baptism is not just, you know, not just a work of obedience. There's more to it. There's the belief, there's the repentance, there's the salvation that comes through the fact that we are saying to God, we are going to serve Him and serve Him only. And from that point on, our sins are washed.
Mm-hmm.
And in Hebrews chapter 5, we have an example through the Son, starting in verse 7. And it wasn't just the death either, it was the life that He lived. And it says, "In the days of His flesh, He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His piety." Now, somebody that said you didn't have to work could stop right there and say, well, there you go. God's mercy would have saved Jesus from all those sinners, or He could have just said something. But that's not what Jesus did. He said, "Although He was a son, He learned obedience from the things which He suffered. And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation." So, you know, Jesus was obedient to the point of death. And it's in that likeness of death that we have salvation through Him. Obedience to the Son, obedience to the Father. And all of our sins are nailed to the cross at which we're walking this life. So that puts the thrust and the importance of understanding that, yes, we're saved by God's grace and God's mercy, but it was something that was expected of us to be.
Right. Yes, sir.
Back to Ephesians 2, verse 8. I think if somebody brings that question up, when it talks about that grace, we've got to get them to understand that the grace part is the fact that God even made a way. And that's where the grace is that we were so far removed from Him, there's nothing we could do in and of ourselves to bridge that gap. But God made a way. He made a plan. He didn't have to make a plan.
No, that's right.
He could have just said, y'all messed it up, sorry. But he made a plan. And that's where the mercy and the grace come in. And the vehicle by which we obtain that grace, it says, we're saved through faith.
was our faith that brings us to that plan. And how do we show our faith? It's through these actions.
Okay.
James 2 just talks about we show our faith by our works. And then he gives an example of Abraham. You know, Abraham was justified because he believed God. Why did he believe God? He believed God when he said he was going to make him a man of many nations. And he believed God by being able to conceive Isaac. And just all these things Abraham did. And those were works that showed his faith, showed that he believed God, just like us. And we show our faith by repenting, by confessing, by being baptized.
Yes, sir. A lot of good points.
Okay. I think, yes, sir. Christian, I asked a good question, and one of my suggestions is when, just think about it if you were on the other side asking the question. And so she raised a good question and going to this particular verse. When someone brings up a particular verse, I think it's best, if we can, to answer the question with the text. All the other good verses are good. I mean, yes, it's harmony and, you know, it makes the point. But more, if people bring up a verse, stay with that verse and address it. And usually there's an explanation. The Holy Spirit has explained what kind of words are involved here. And get them to see around the text instead of going to the verses. Maybe that would be good eventually, but you know, the more we can, when we bring up a verse, stick with the verse, deal with the context, answer the question, and try to get them to see, what you're trying to, the point you're trying to make. And I'm not saying other verses aren't good also to bring in.
Right.
First of all, try to stick with the text and, you know, deal with that. And because if we were on the other side, if we brought up a verse and then someone, well, what about this verse over here? Well, I'm asking about this verse, you know.
Right.
So I just.
Right.
And best we can, try to stay within the verse. And usually the answer is right there. We just read it and try to understand it and the answer right there.
Yeah, that's a good point. If we try to answer it with that, but that might not be enough to them. So then we can show them with other verses as well.
Correct.
But yes, ma'am.
If you don't mind marking their Bible, Rocky's point at these are made. If you'll just mark all the walk phrases in the former life phrases, which means well, they used to walk.
How they did.
And then starting in verse 4, walking, that's the whole point of the 4 through 6 is the change of life we have to do to get these blessings. And there's things you have to put off and things you have to put on, things you have to quit doing. That's a work. If you stop doing something, that's a work.
Yeah.
And so if you just stay in the book, as Rocky said, it goes on and then it talks to husbands and wives specific things they have to do. Servants, slaves, masters, they have certain things they have to do. Those are all works. So as Rocky pointed out earlier, it's the good works that God has created us to do that's talked about right there in the passage where Jesus started. So if you don't mind marking, sometimes, I don't know about everybody else, but sometimes somebody asks me a question, and if they give me 30 minutes, I can give them the answer. But if I've got it all marked, it's easier. I don't need the whole 30 minutes, but
right.
It's right there, and if I have...
They kind of, and they jump out at you.
Digital devices, because I like my paper Bible, because it's... Pat's
point about walking, verse 10, where you hear the word walk, right? The very end of verse 10, you walk in them. You know, these are what we are created. We have to do things. Mm-hmm. We were created for that. And baptism is one of many of the works. And so,
this starts up in verse 2, the way they formerly walked. Now, I got to change this. There's something. This isn't working. They're dead.
Right.
So this is what they've got to do to come to life.
Alrighty, a lot of good comments. Thank you all.
One other comment, outside of the comment I want to make that on Christine's, I wanted us to note the superlatives that are used in this text here. And, you know, we see that in the first few chapters. Just start in verse 4. So we were talking about God's mercy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say God being merciful. No, he is rich in mercy. See how the superlative, rich in mercy. Then he talks about his love. Well, is it just his love? No, his great love.
Right.
It's just, this is really, and then go back to verse 7. You know, talk about his grace. Well, look how it's put. His riches, no, the surpassing rich of his grace. So I'm always amazed when you just continue reading over and over the superlatives of how they're magnified. God's grace is great, but you know this thing's being magnifying, it's being rich, and just a side point to emphasize the spiritual blessing we have.
That's a good point.
And just so it just jumps out at you these first two chapters.
Good point, Rocky. Okay, let's go over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 1:3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And we see in there this idea of great mercy, like Rocky just pointed out. So we can see these idea of mercy and grace and how grand it is in these verses that we've looked at. You know, we've been allowed to overcome sin and live this new life, a life for God. And because of our understanding of what He has done for us and understanding His love for us should cause us to love Him. You know, and that should cause us to want to serve Him and obey Him and to do His will. Let's go over to John. John 14. John 14... We'll read verses 21 through 23. It says that he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And Judas said, not Iscariot, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So we see this idea of keeping God's commandments and the blessing of doing that. Because we look at this, when I think of this word obey, it's not really two different ways, but in a sense we think of it in two different ways. Because a lot of the times we think of the word obey meaning has someone obeyed? Have they responded to the gospel? Which is obedience. But we've got to remember that's not where it stops. We are to continue to obey. We're to continue to live a life that shows that we understand God and His will, and we should continue to strive to do the things that are pleasing to Him.
That's where it starts.
That's
where it starts.
What's that?
That's not where it ends. It's where it starts.
The obey or I'm not following you in this.
He said, that's not the end. I said, yeah, that's where it starts. That's the beginning.
Okay.
Once you obey the gospel, then you...
Right, it's where it starts. Yeah, now I'm following you. Okay. Yeah, that's where the obedience starts. But it's something that has to be continued. Let's look at Ephesians 4:1.
Actually, it's good if we are already obeying some of what he has to say, but...
Right. You mean just someone having good morals?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, that's good, but that doesn't save us.
That's right.
That's the problem with that.
Ephesians
4:1, and this is kind of something that Pat already addressed, but I just want us to look at this idea in 4:1. because it has to do with our walk. You know, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. And then we can jump over to verse 17. Really, verse 17 all the way down to 31 or 32, however you want to do that, you see this idea of walk no longer. That's this idea of things we shouldn't do. So, you know, throughout verses, you'll see this put on or take off and put on and these different things like this. So the provisions through Christ, He's provided salvation through His blood, His death, and for those that would trust in it. God's grace and mercy is only for those that would believe in it and act upon it. And in order to do that, it's going to take faith. Thank you all for all your comments.